Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm still over at Glenn's after our big cocktail bash, still trying to sober up.
What day is this?
It's been a while. I've lost track.
Okay, well, this is a mini-sode. It's another Retro Tech Bite.
Retro Tech Bites.
On photography.
Yes. So, Glenn, when would you say you got into photography?
I remember taking photos as a kid when we were going on a cross-country trip.
Okay.
So, I cannot remember what my first camera was. I remember it being a big deal when my dad got a 35mm camera.
Okay, yeah.
But I always had stuff like, what was it, the 110s?
I'm not familiar. What is that?
It was one of those things where it's like built into a cassette that you just chunk the thing in there. I had a disc camera. You remember those?
Oh, the Kodak disc.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
No, this is before the disc.
Oh, really? Well, you said a disc camera.
Yeah, I'm saying like that was another one that I had.
Okay.
I had a Kodak instant camera.
Yes. So did I.
I think we've had this discussion before because Kodak eventually got sued by Polaroid.
Yes.
And Polaroid won.
Yes.
So they stopped making film for it and sent like $30 or something for the camera.
Oh, they did? Yeah, I don't think I ever got it.
There was a settlement. I mean, you had a file, but there was a settlement.
I didn't know about the settlement at the time. I think I got the camera for Christmas one year when I was maybe 5 or 6, and it came with one cartridge with 10 pictures in it.
Sure.
So that was all I was ever able to use it for.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you must have gotten it shortly before they discontinued, because I did buy film. Like, I had it for a few years.
Okay.
I was probably, I don't know, maybe around 10 to 13 years old, maybe I had that camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have mine, as a matter of fact. I saw another one at a camera shop recently.
Wow.
So I asked about, hey, do you have any interest in buying one of these? Like, no, not at all.
You can't get film for it. It seems like you could now.
I would imagine there's got to be somebody who could manage to make
the
film for this.
But I don't think there's any demand for that.
No, absolutely not.
So
it was the Kodak Pleaser is what it was called.
Oh, I don't know that mine was
called. Well, that was what mine was called.
Mine was big.
Yeah, well, so was mine. It was about the size of one of those older style cameras where the...
Kind of, yeah.
Like going back to the 30s or 40s, kind of almost.
Yeah, the 110 was like...
Maybe not that big.
It had kind of like a cassette shaped, almost like goggles, that the film would just go in. I think that was a 110.
Would roll from one to the other kind
of
spools? Okay,
yeah. I had that. And then there was something else that came out that was probably the last film camera I bought. That could, like, its big draw was it could take panoramic pictures, but it wasn't a 35mm. It was just a thing that you would put in there.
Okay.
I don't remember. I probably still have that camera sitting around somewhere.
I think after the Kodak Pleaser that I had, I didn't really have a permanent camera for a while. I kind of, when I really started to take more pictures, I was either borrowing family member's camera or eventually I got into just the disposable cameras because they were pretty popular for a while.
I never really did the disposable camera thing.
It's back in the 90s, I guess. Yeah. It was.
I was pretty early with digital photography.
Mm-hmm.
I think like it was maybe my 5-year gift at the job I used to have or something.
Yeah.
Where you could choose stuff, and I got this, and again, still probably have this sitting around somewhere. An old digital camera. Probably like 5 megapixel or something.
Okay.
That was like, you know, top of the line at the time and like looked like a real camera. It took really good photos.
I remember using one at work, I think it was. It was a very early digital camera that actually took 3.5-inch floppy disks for the storage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This took the big cards. I don't remember what they were even called.
Oh, geez. Okay. I went from the disposable cameras to a film camera. I had a Nikon point and shoot. I still have it somewhere.
Yeah.
I was using that for a while, but then, you know, you had to go through the process. This is backtracking a little bit, but you had to go through the process of, okay, once you shot the reel, maybe it was 36 pictures or 24 pictures on a film reel. You had to roll that back up, rewind it, back up, and then get it developed.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you didn't have your own darkroom, which I certainly didn't.
No, I don't know a lot of people who had that. I can remember growing up, there was this shopping center that was within walking distance of our house that I would occasionally walk or bike over to. And there was a photo mat, a genuine, for real photo mat brand photo mat in the parking lot there.
It's still, I guess, true nowadays, although it's, I'm sure, scaled back a lot, that many pharmacies or supermarkets had their own photo labs.
Yeah.
So that was kind of usually, for me at least, the go-to place to have pictures developed.
I think most pharmacies, I feel like they still have that, CVS and Rite Aid and whatnot.
I don't know if they take film anymore.
They do. They do. Do they? For sure. But I think by the time I was still like kind of sticking with film cameras, and I think I eventually did have like an automatic 35 millimeter kind of thing where you would just drop the whole reel in there and press a button and it would load it automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was mailing my film away at that point because that was like one of the best ways to do it was they'd give you this envelope. You'd check off what it was, drop it in the envelope, put it in the mail, and then you'd get your photos back, photos and negatives in the mail.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you went to the local photo lab at a CVS or whatever, be the same thing pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
Put it in a bag, write your name on it, fill in what it is, and so on. You had maybe, what, two or three different choices for speeds of film? Well, like 100, 200, 400, something like that?
Yeah, most of the time, the cameras that I would have would set those automatically.
Okay.
I was never really, you know a lot more about photography than I do. I was pretty much just point and shoot.
Well, so was I. I mean, this was the kind of film camera that I had to work with. It was, you know, few inches long by maybe an inch deep kind of a thing. So it's pretty compact. And then I guess I didn't really get into the digital camera phase till about 2007 or so when I got a digital point and shoot camera.
Right.
And that took the SD cards. So storage was not an issue anymore. And thinking back to what you had to deal with film cameras, you can never really see the picture after you took it. You had no idea how it was going to turn out until you actually had it developed.
Some of the later film cameras that I had would actually give you a preview of the picture. It was like they would not have a viewfinder. They would be like most digital cameras were, where it was a screen on the back of it, but it was still saving it to film.
Okay, interesting.
I think there were some that did both, like gave you a digital version and saved on film.
I did not know that.
I could be wrong on that.
I don't recall ever seeing any models like that.
Well, if anybody out there knows about it, you can send us an email at show@backstage.link.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So, yeah, I got into the digital point-and-shoot world, and that just made it so much easier to see if your picture turned out. Although, admittedly, the screen on the back of it was only so big, so you couldn't really tell if maybe the picture was not optimally focused. Then you wouldn't find that out till you blew up the image later.
Right, yeah, the preview screens were never that big.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily give you an idea of how good the photo is going to be, but better than
the
review finder.
Yeah, yeah. So I had that like for over 10 years, and I used that everywhere, going on trips and things like that. It was nice and compact. It was easy to carry. Then for my birthday one year, my wife Erin got me a DSLR camera. For those who are not aware, it is a digital single lens reflex camera.
Basically a real camera, but instead of film, it's digital.
It still saves SD cards. Yeah. It has a screen on the back of it. But yes, it takes interchangeable lenses and all that kind of stuff. So that was where I really started to get a little bit more hardcore into the hobby of photography and the skill set of photography, dealing with the brightness of the sensor, the aperture, the depth of field, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could never be bothered with that. Usually, I mean, because I have some graphic design skills and, you know, Photoshop and whatnot, usually my skill has generally been in the I can frame a nice shot. And then whatever I want to do with it that would have required all the settings, I can usually do afterwards.
Right. Although I've come to appreciate that with the accessories and the settings of the camera, you can really shape an image at the time that you take it.
Oh, for sure. I'm not like the stuff that I can do is okay, but being able, having that knowledge to dial in those settings and everything, I think you end up with a better photo for sure.
Yeah. So that's been something I've kind of learned a lot over the past 5 years or so to try to get a better handle on taking the picture well in the first place, as well as possible with what I have available.
And in the last 5 years or so, I have basically transitioned to taking pictures only with my phone.
Yes, that's certainly a valid point. I have certainly used my own phone camera in many occasions. It's you can't deny the fact that it's very convenient to use. It's really easy to, because you're carrying it with you anyway.
Exactly. I mean, for a while I was carrying my phone, and then when we'd go on trips and stuff, I'd also carry a digital camera. And then mm-hmm. it just got to the point where I'm like, why am I bothering?
Right.
Because the camera that's in the phone now is pretty much as good as the digital camera I was carrying.
Yeah, depending on the phone that you have, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can do a lot of, depending on, again, the sophisticated, mm-hmm. depending on how sophisticated the phone and the camera are, a lot of those same settings are available to you.
This is true.
You can certainly make a valid argument that that's using your camera phone anymore is just as good as anything else you can use. It's really kind of almost becomes a matter of personal preference, whether you really want to have the ability to fine tune all the dials and knobs and use different lenses and things of that nature, or depending on where you're actually taking the pictures, if it's really not safe to bring a camera of that size around with you, if you're afraid you're going to drop it or lose the lenses or who knows what, then by all means, just take the camera.
As long as you don't lose that.
Yeah.
I think the lenses are probably the biggest difference when you're dealing with your phone. I mean, I do have three built-in lenses on my phone, but that's not really going to give you the versatility that you can have with a DSLR.
Yeah, it's a trade-off. And now, of course, DSLRs have kind of become passe in favor of mirrorless cameras that still use detachable lenses and still operate in much the same way as a DSLR, but it technologically is not a DSLR anymore. It eliminates that part of it.
Is there anybody out there that's still like, oh, I will only use film?
I have some friends who they just prefer that as their hobby of they like the look and feel of dealing with film. I mean, you know, there's plenty of retro hobbies out there.
True.
And yes, film photography is still very much a thing. It's of course a little bit harder now to find film and maybe find the camera if you don't have one already. And of course you may not have as many channels open to you as far as getting it developed.
Right.
But then again, I think some people who are really hardcore into that may have their own dark room set up.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about that part.
It's interesting.
No, it's still very much a thing. It's more of a niche hobby, certainly. But so is, I think, DSLR photography or mirrorless photography anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just interesting seeing how photography has changed over the years and how the digital photography kind of caught up with film photography. Because when digital photography was first coming out, it was just like a novelty. And your quality of pictures, you could not get the quality of pictures that you could get on film.
Right.
And now I think, if anything, you can't get the quality of pictures on film that you can get on digital. Well, but you may not want it.
It may depend on the film, but I guess also there's the fact that, yes, those who like film maybe like the look of film. And
right.
That comes down to the film grain, the crystals of it. That's just their preference.
Yeah. So is that all we have to say about this retro tech?
Yeah, it continues to be a bit of a hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's taken a backseat, I would say, a little bit to some other hobbies of mine lately.
Like podcasting?
or things related to music, yeah.
All right, fair enough. So we'll be back with you, I believe, in 2 weeks. I think it's always in 2 weeks after this, right? After the minisodes? I get mixed up.
Yeah, this was, 3 weeks after the holiday special, I think, right?
So, yeah. So we'll be back.
You're the keeper of the schedule.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks or so with another episode.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Later.
That's Our Show was brought to you by The Backstage Group. Engineered by Jim Belserik and edited by Glenn Reed. You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. Please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, that's Our Show.